welcome to episode 82 of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me again today is Brian Lockhart from the Marine Corps Movie Minute. Welcome back, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me stay, I should say.
Well, I figured we had a nice time yesterday. We might as well, try and keep it going. We'll play each day as it goes. You know, I'll decide each day if I want to let you come back tomorrow or not.
Well, I appreciate it. And of course, if it gets a little rough for me, I'll just kind of dig my way out.
There you go. Just make sure you don't get caught. All right. Episode 82 begins with Sedgwick jumping out of the window and goes all the way to Henley shouting out orders. So as we mentioned, the tag end of yesterday's episode, we get to see Sedgwick the primate, you know, perched on his windowsill, and then he jumps out. Now, it makes you wonder why he's going to walk around completely barefoot. You know, right now we know it's July, so it is hot. You know, it's also the early morning. My assumption is that they did reveille quite early. It's probably, around 6 o'clock. I mean, according to what I just checked up, the sunrise in 1942 on July 4th was at 5:38. Oh, actually, that's actually not in Germany, though. Probably should check that. Or actually, they're in Poland.
That always confused me, watching this when I was younger. Like, I always thought that they were in Germany, and then I found out in real life this camp was in Poland.
Yeah, right. It was in Sagan, Poland. So in 1942, sunrise in Warsaw was at 4:20. Wow.
Oh, so that's pretty early then. This is probably a good 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, they got up pretty early, I bet. Yeah,
seriously. Oh, that's really interesting. And if this was in 1943, sunrise. But again, we can base it on the fact that, you know, if sunrise in 1942 was at 4:20, it's going to be pretty close to that.
Yeah.
4:49. How's that? So actually, we'll 4:49 in Germany. So okay, it's probably around the same time, but that's still pretty early. So I'm assuming that this is like probably around 6 o'clock. It makes sense. You know, they're going to wait. Let people sleep a little bit. It is July 4th.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's decently bright out. Like, it's not the sun just was peeking through. It's been up for a little bit there, at least based on filming.
Right. No, actually, that actually makes me curious to know what time sunset would be at these times because, you know, was sunset. No, sunset was still pretty late. It was at 7 o'clock. Mm. No, sorry. It's even later. It's at 9 o'clock. That's a long days. Seriously, you know, for you know, they wow, that means they didn't have that much nighttime to be dealing with all their digging and stuff like that in July, even right, though the real escape took place in March.
That's
interesting though. I mean, think about it. That's a day that goes from 4 a.m. till 9 p.m. So they basically only had 7 hours of darkness.
Yeah,
good thing they were digging underground.
Right.
Actually, that also means that when later on in the movie, when they have the escape, that means they only had 7 hours to get out also.
Yeah. Although if you base it on real, if you do real life and then you talk about like this now, it was like 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, I think when the last person got out because he was spotted by the guard, and in this movie it was dark out. So right. I do wonder if it's like, well, maybe, I don't know, because it is like a nice spring day when they show him going about the time. But you know, here, like, so I guess it's supposed to be shortly after this is when it comes to a head, right? I'm guessing
it's a few weeks from now.
There's a double meaning behind this celebration. It's not just the 4th of July and having a fun time at the British expense. They specifically say they're going to have a drink to Tom.
Exactly.
You know, so I think they're just like blowing off some steam after all this hard work they've done and kind of getting ready for what's to come next, you know.
That's true.
Under the guise of 4th of July party. And again, they're taking the piss out of, you know, their British fellow soldiers and you know, because it's, you know, up with the rebellion, you know, with the rebels, down with the. I think this is great. I love this stuff.
Yeah, no question about that. Right, so we see them walking through the compound. They walk in between the barracks and stuff like that. And then you have a door open with Ramsey, Roger, and Mac coming out. And so they have a small little thing to say about it, you know. And Ramsey goes, "What the devil is this?" Just to yeah. show that you know, I have no idea what's going on.
Right. Well, that's what I like about it, because they come off as the traditional stuffy, you know, blue blood type of, you know, British person and you know, proper is what I should say. And exactly. Here's these, you know, rabble rousing Americans, you know, starting up some, like, what, you know, it's like, what's going on? Like, I didn't approve this. I have no idea what's going on. And here, you know, here these guys come in making jokes, you know, about their shared history, I guess, exactly. You know?
Yeah, for sure. And so then Henley invites them. He goes, "Gentlemen, you're invited for free drinks at the wash tank," which is funny. That it's basically, you know, we have this, the place where we all can wash up. That's where we're going to give everyone drinks.
Right. Well, it's a common area and they all know where it is.
Exactly. Well, I'm assuming that they know where just about every place is in this compound.
And honestly, too, sorry, go ahead.
It won't take them that long to go through the whole compound and figure out where everything is.
And nope, not at all. But I mean, it's also a common area where it wouldn't be unusual for them all to be gathered.
Right.
You know, the guards would be, I mean, I'm sure they're wondering why they're doing what they're doing, but
the guards
they
are still sleeping. They didn't wake up yet from
that's true.
From the explosion yesterday.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow they'll wake up. Maybe. We'll have to see.
And then Hiltz mentions, you know, it's the 4th of July, a little present from the colonials. And then Goff is able to get his word in and goes, "Down the British."
Up the rebels.
And, you know, Mac then agrees with him. Quite right. And then Henley goes, and a little drink to Tom.
Yeah.
And then Hiltz responds, and to getting home.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you think that, I mean, Hiltz is tried the most out of everyone to get home. He really needs the luck at this point.
No kidding.
You know, to get there. And then, you know, formally Ramsey has to accept. And then his response, as you said, is, "Up the rebels." And then Goff has another one of his lines, "Down the British." I've always loved Goff. I mean, he's just a fun character. I've referred to him numerous times as the, you know, the extra that they decided to give lines to.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
He doesn't have much to do. He's always on the sidelines. He has a few things to throw out here and there and stuff like that.
Yep, he's just kind of there, but he's good.
Exactly. And then, if you noticed, they actually, the way the three of them are standing actually now is changed. You know,
yes.
You still have Goff in the middle, but at this point, it's because they did the about face yesterday, where basically, you know, now you have Hiltz on the left and Henley on the right, as opposed to the way they were standing originally, but it's still not the proper, actually it is. That is the way that it is in the picture, in the Spirit of 76 picture. No, sorry. No, because Goff should be on the right. So no, they didn't. You know, they didn't switch that around. What they did was they just left them. You know, they switched the order around, but that's it. Right to left to right.
Well, it's the Spirit of 76. It's not the accuracy of 76.
That's
so
true.
It's good.
That's right. That's right.
And this is the moment too when they're marching up that you see that Steve McQueen, and I'm assuming this is a Steve McQueen thing and not a, you know, character thing, where he messes up playing the flute or the fiddle, and he pulls it down and kind of wipes his mouth and puts it back up again.
Well, because he's really not doing it.
No.
My assumption is that someone else is doing the actual. He actually I love how he turns it around as if he's got the wrong. He's about to put the wrong end.
Yeah.
He's gonna flip it around.
Now, and if you notice too, when they stop playing, the song continues, because it's supposed to be all the British guys whistling Yankee Doodle,
right,
with, you know, along with them. I don't actually think they're actually whistling. It does seem more of a soundtrack type thing, but I thought that was I like that little bit where, like, no, they're into this. They're on board. They've joined the Pied Piper, and they're heading out to get a drink, you know.
Right. Right, because they don't even know what they're in for at this point. They're just following the, you know, they're there to see what's going on. What's the, you know, what's all the rustle, the you know, what's going on and what they're all doing here. And then Henley formally invites them to join them. He goes, gentlemen, if you just follow us, we'll take you to the booze.
Yeah.
And
now, are you familiar at all with the, you know, the history behind Yankee Doodle, the song?
Or Yankee Doodle Dance? A little bit, but why don't you enlighten us all?
All right, well, I had first learned this. I took my kids to, like, this history, this Revolutionary War, like, day, Constitution Day type of thing, where it was, like, these reenactors, and they have this camp. They actually do, like, a summer camp for kids, and they come to the schools, but you could just go and hang out with them, and it was all things revolution. And one of the things they demonstrated was the music of the time. They fired some muskets and they fired some cannons. It was really awesome. But one of the things that they explained, and I later looked it up to verify this, that Yankee Doodle was an insult that the British played against their American allies during the French and Indian War. So the way it was kind of explained to me was that the Americans would show up to fight alongside regular British army against the French and Indians. And they would show up. They didn't know how to march. They sometimes would show up without their own weapons. If they did have their own weapons, it was, you know, just a musket for fighting, you know, or not fighting, for hunting. You know, they were just ill-equipped, and they were a bunch of uneducated, you know, rabble-rousers, basically. So at the camp, they started playing Yankee Doodle to insult them, because a Yankee was obviously the Americans, and a doodle at the time was a fool,
country hick,
and a dandy was like a fancy person. Right. So they were saying that, like, oh, these guys are so dumb. Like, that's the whole thing behind the, like, stuck a feather in his hat and called him macaroni. Like, he's so dumb, he thinks, because macaroni, there was a whole thing about that, about like, well, these rich and fanciful British guys, you know, they would travel Europe, and they come back and be like, oh, look how, you know, I picked this up in Italy, and they would. Macaroni was like a saying, but they were saying, oh, these dummies just think a feather is macaroni. They think he's being fancy, but they're so dumb that they're not. Well, so what really kind of takes a turn, why I think this is what makes this, you know, story awesome, is in the first battles of the Revolutionary War, in Lexington, you know, Battle of Lexington and Concord.
Yep.
when the Americans were formed up and the British were now, you know, coming in, filing in their ranks, they started playing Yankee Doodle to say, like, hey, look at these dummies here. They were insulting them yet again now. And this time it's no longer brotherly love. You know, it's like, oh, we're teasing you. No, we're insulting you. Well, the legend has it that when the British had to retreat back to Boston, back to the safety of Boston, the Americans started playing Yankee Doodle, saying, hey guys, guess what? You just got beat by a bunch of doodles, you know? And supposedly, now I had heard, the thing I had heard was that, like, throughout the war, if that would often get played whenever the British were, if the Americans did defeat them. I do think it makes more sense that initially here, because based on it was the back and forth between the two sides, and nobody thought it was going to kind of escalate to the way it did at the time. But supposedly at the Battle of Yorktown, when the British were surrendering, supposedly there was some people playing Yankee Doodle then too, basically saying, hey, like, you're just surrendering to a bunch of doodles. So witnesses claim that was being played in Yorktown as well. Wow. So
that is fascinating.
I love that. I'm like, oh, that song is, like, not just a fanciful kid song anymore to me. It's like, you know, obviously it's an American song, but it has a different meaning to me now whenever I hear it. And I think it's great that it was played here with the Americans and the British doing their little back and forth. I mean, obviously it's brotherly camaraderie here, but I do like the little fact that they're kind of teasing the fact that they're rebels. And
now you mentioned what Doodle and Dandy were, but where does Yankee come from? Do you know that?
You know what? I actually tried to look that up, and I mean, I didn't do a lot of research on it, but they basically said nobody's really sure where the Yankee came from. They think it came from maybe some, like, a twist on a word from, like, the Dutch or something like that.
Right. Okay. I read that also, but I also read that it possibly comes from a Cherokee word, a Ianki, which means coward.
Okay.
Which again would fit in with the tale you just, you know, told us about where the song originated from, because that would make sense that they'd be calling them, you know, you're a coward, yeah, and you're a conceited jerk. And what was the third thing?
You're an idiot, basically.
And you're an idiot. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You're a country, you're a coward, a country hick, and a conceited jerk.
Yeah. That's about right, but except for the cowardness.
Yeah,
we're conceited. No, we're that, doodles.
That's just fascinating.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's great, and actually that makes more sense. Like you said, the Yankee, where that it means that, and I'll go with that, because again, to me, Yankee was just a baseball team growing up. You know.
Yeah. No. Of course. It's still a baseball team.
Right. Yeah.
Not just growing up. Doesn't matter how old you are.
Right.
So they do their about face and they start walking back through the compound, and then you have one of the barracks doors opens up and you see Colin come out, and Colin is just hilarious. You know, Donald Pleasance. You know, he's got his pajamas on. He has a jacket on over his pajamas. You know, he's got his flight hat on, and he's still carrying his little cup. You know, that he's drunk tea in earlier in the movie. So it's just really funny watching him. You know, everyone else is coming and they're tucking in their pants and he's still in his pajamas. Yep.
And he's got such a satisfied smile on his face too, which is great. Like, he's awesome in this movie.
which makes me wonder if Henley told him about this, you know, because they're roommates.
Yeah.
You know, did he mention to him? Did he say you might want to be ready on July 4th morning, because we got a little surprise for you?
Well, he does have his cup at the ready, even though he, like as you said, he has it, you know, throughout the movie. But still, he does come out with it. Not everybody else does. So
that's right. He knows he's supposed to be bringing the cup.
Yeah.
Now what they reach the water tank and they put down their instruments. The music still keeps going.
Yeah,
as you said before.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be everybody is whistling along to the tune.
Even though it doesn't look like anyone's
whistling. Correct. Correct. And it doesn't really sound like it was happening in real time. I think that's the intention behind it.
Yeah. No, but again, you know, keeping the music playing in the background helps the atmosphere of this scene. And then we have Henley begin to start talking, and he says, "All right, let's line." And that's it. It's the end of this minute.
Yep.
All right. You have anything else for this minute?
No, I really don't. But I did hear there were some free drinks over at the Wash Stack. So if you need anything else.
Not yet. Oh. Not yet. You got to wait. You got to wait till tomorrow.
That's true.
So you see, Brian, you have to come back tomorrow to get some of those drinks.
I knew I had to be on my best behavior because I knew there was a reward waiting for me. See, I got the tip off like Donald Pleasance. I knew it was coming. No, I'm good. I don't have anything else for this minute.
All right. So why don't you tell everyone once again how they can get in touch with you?
I'm currently with the Marine Corps Movie Minute podcast, and we can be found where every podcast can be found, pretty much, all the usuals. But if you want to interact with us, we're at MCMM_podcast on Twitter, if you want to find us there.
All right, great. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher they might be using to listen to this show. You can reach us on Twitter at Great Escape MXM. Our Facebook group is The Cooler. Our website's thegreatescapeminute.com. And you can send us an email at thegreatminute@gmail.com. Until tomorrow, tally-ho!
Tally-ho!